Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, a fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Android11. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and keep your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 33, recorded on Monday, November 7th, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And today, I'm happy to introduce, I'm a big fan of hers, Joanna Stern from TheVerge.com. Welcome very much to All About Android.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. I've been reading your articles for a while, even, you know, on Engadget, and this is my next, and, you know.
Awesome.
We're so happy to have you, because I know you know a lot about...
And now of The Verge.
And
we finally have The Verge.
Yeah,
exactly.
It looks really, really slick. I'm really happy with
it. Was awesome. Very impressive.
This is different. Like, yeah, it was good. So, Congratulations.
We were working on something for 6 months.
Yeah. You guys weren't just sitting around. I mean, you guys are in it to win it, it seems like, with that website.
We
it's awesome.
We are. We definitely are.
All right. Well, this week we're going to be discussing more ice cream sandwich updates, whether or not we hate Honeycomb. We'll answer that. The Nook tablet was just announced. Joanna was at that event today. And Ron has a hotly anticipated review of the Google TV. Remember, he's been updating his unit for months. Plus, we have another grab bag of apps. I think all of the apps are all over the place. Can't wait to get started. So let's just dive into the news.
All right. So first off, I'll just start off by saying that there is a really good post on Engadget that pretty much summarizes what devices are going to be getting ice cream sandwich, because that is kind of top of mind
for
everybody in the Android world right now. Yeah, what and when are they going to get it? So check out Engadget. But more specifically, today, HTC announced specifics on their ice cream sandwich update. And it's important to note in the beginning that what they say is that this is the first wave of announcements around their phones and ice cream sandwich. So if your phone isn't on this list, don't worry. I'd imagine they'd have to add to this list, because it's kind of a small list at this point. HTC Sensation, Sensation XL, Sensation XE, as well as the Resound, of course, HTC Evo 3D, Evo Design 4G, and Amaze 4G.
And I think the big lesson, at least that I took away, not only from Ice Cream Sandwich, but also from the Google TV update, is that don't blame Google if you haven't gotten the update
exactly.
yet. It's a lot of times it's the manufacturers of the handsets that are handling it. Like, so it's HTC determining what devices are going to get it and when. You know, like in the case of the Google TV update, which we're going to talk about a little later, it was Sony. It wasn't Google that was holding it back. You know, so people looking for where it's coming from, look to the device manufacturers as opposed to Google themselves. Google's giving it to the manufacturers and say, okay, now roll it out to your people.
Sure.
So. Well, and like we talked about last week, some of these devices, the older devices, just won't be able to handle ice cream sandwich. Yeah. So, unfortunately, you'll have to upgrade if you really want it.
Yeah.
Nexus One.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think it also, like, it's putting these new handsets, you know, we're seeing, like, sort of before the end of the year, these sort of halo handsets. The Motorola Razr is a good example. We just reviewed that today. And it's like, we don't want to knock it for not having ice cream sandwich right now, or we don't want to knock Motorola for it, but it's sort of like, you kind of have to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one of them. And the Resound is another one. It comes out in, you know, a couple weeks. And these are, like, really high-end spec phones, and they've got all the other specs to make it competitive, but it's like, oh, right now you got to wait till next year to get ice cream sandwich on it. And, you know, the Galaxy Nexus will be out in a couple weeks, and that'll have the brand spanking new operating system.
Yeah, exactly. That'll have it right off the top.
And I think that's part of Samsung and Google's strategy with it. I mean, like, that's the phone. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's the phone they want you to use. And so there's going to be – I wouldn't be surprised if there's not exclusivity, but, like, certain contingencies around when it can be rolled out and on what devices, even – you know, not even regarding the older devices, but they want to push – this is their pony. This is the one they're going to push.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Samsung definitely has an exclusive on, you know, not only on, you know, that handset they worked with Google on it, but on the actual operating system. From what we can tell, it's basically the beginning of December. So it seems like they've got the exclusive period till then. At least that's like sort of according to rumors and what I've heard from companies off the record in some senses. But like, you know, they're saying even I think Andy Rubin said, you know, some of the tablets would get it a couple weeks after that when the source code goes out. So.
So you said you said you're giving them, you know, those units like the Razer and the Resound a little ding. Does that mean that you're sort of telling people to possibly hold off and get the Nexus first, the Galaxy Nexus?
Yeah,
first?
I mean, I think definitely that's the route we went with in the Razer. There were some other things wrong with the device in the review. I mean, it is overall a really good phone and one of the best phones on Verizon. But Verizon is getting a ton of crazy spec phones this holiday season. I mean, I do not know how they've done it. I actually wish it was like sort of a story to tell. I mean, obviously they've got one of the best networks in the U.S., if not the best, but they have just lined up a crazy sort of family of devices. And you've got the Galaxy Nexus hitting in a couple weeks. The Razer hit this week or next. I think it's on the 11th. And then you've also got the Resound hitting next week. Or is it next week? I think that's the 17th. I don't even know what date it is. So I can just list you release dates because I end up writing about those. So it's sort of like, how do you compare these? A lot of them have the same specs. They've got really high resolution displays. They've got dual core processors. They've got LTE. They're all these sort of commonalities. But like, you get that ice cream sandwich variable in there, you're like, this is sort of, you know, this is going to be the Halo one, and it's also the one that's sort of supported the most by Google.
Yeah, and they always say, yes, you know, the Razer and the Resound will get updates, but, you know, if you learn in the past, those updates get pushed all the time for whatever reason, and I don't like to wait. Honestly.
Yeah, it's like I think people kind of have a sour taste in their mouth, you know, expecting, you know, having heard before. Like, you take the Thunderbolt
as a prime example, which pretty much
at launch, they were like, oh, yes, this is going to be getting gingerbread soon.
They just got it.
And that's like, what, nine months later?
Yeah.
It's a long time. I mean, when you consider that you've got a 2-year contract on these devices, and a lot of times they end up stopping, you know, receiving updates after a year and a half, for it to take 9 months for you to get that update to an OS that even right now is still out of date.
Yeah.
It's kind of slack.
I think actually HTC could be one of the worst. Mm. And I think that has to do with, obviously, with Sense and the fact that they've got to then optimize it for the next operating system, and that has to go through a bunch of tweaks on their end, and it's not very simple for them to do. I mean, I think, you know, they've said with the Resound and these other ones were early 2012, but like, who knows what that means.
Early 2012 could be the first 3 to 4 months of 2012.
Yeah, it could be
if
April.
Not later. Who knows?
I was preparing a devil's advocate. Just be patient. You'll get it eventually kind of argument. But then I realized I'm the guy who sat at home hitting update. So I can't. I have no leg to stand on in the devil's advocate argument. I mean, it's tough. I mean, the more kind of bloatware, if you want to call Sense that or whatever stuff that the manufacturers do, it's a challenge. And the thing is, 6 months, 7 months from now, you know, will we forget about it? Will it be rolled out and we'll be well into 2012? And will it even matter? Probably not. But right now, it's very top of mind.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, someone is correcting me in chat here that HTC is actually one of the best. And that I do know that they are definitely better than Samsung. I should put that disclaimer in there. They, you know, Samsung has been known to be one of the worst. And that, again, has to probably do with TouchWiz and the optimizations they want to bring to that. But
all right. Well, moving on, in the Google world, in the Google sphere, there's a lot of brands and pages now. And I just wanted to highlight...
Today was a very busy day.
I know. Oh, I'm sure it was for you.
Yeah, was.
I wanted to highlight that Android has its own brand page on Google+. And many of you who listen to the show and watch the show, you know that we're all on Google+.
Pretty actively.
So there's the Android page. And hey, guess what I did today?
What did you do?
Well, I made a All About Android Google page.
Very nice. Cool.
There's nothing on there yet. Yeah. We were rushing.
We were sitting here while everything
I feel like we should wait. Like, this is probably more appropriate for this week in Google, but I've got a long list of like, oh, Google, I really hope you change the way this works. Because they should look at Facebook's page product a lot more before they roll this out. But okay. It's cool to finally be able, as somebody who manages brands and stuff like that, it's cool to have a place to go, especially as you know, now for All About Android, having a home on Google Plus.
We have a little home. We'll have a Twit page eventually. Leo will set that up when it's coming.
You have a Verge page as well, right?
We do have one. You know, I have to admit, and if you look at my Google Plus page, I think the last update I made was like, I need a reminder to use this more.
Yeah. Okay.
And I forget to use it all the time. And I really do like updating there, but I always forget.
Yeah, that's we talked about that post show I think last week or the week before. I have a hard time getting Google Plus. You guys have done. I'm envious at how integrated you are and on it all the time you are. I just can't get it into my mix. I don't know why.
Yeah, and for me, and this is one of the things I've said is I think that for me, the fact that they don't have third party apps and they're not plugging into third party apps right now, and I know did that happen or it's going to happen soon, is a really big thing because I'm like constantly in TweetDeck. And I feel like if there was an option there, or there was an option in another third-party app where I could actually update from there, I would do it.
Yeah, no, I'm the
you
same.
Know, and maybe I would, you know, a longer update. You know, when I get that little thing in TweetDeck that's like, oh, long update, then maybe I'll just put on Google Plus. But like, I don't want to go open the browser window, and even though I live in Gmail. I don't know.
No, Joanna, you and I are in very similar places, very similar worlds. I have two monitors at home, and my main big monitor is browser and email and stuff like that. Then I've got my laptop monitor to the left with TweetDeck, and it's just going all day. And I post TweetDeck posts to Twitter and to Facebook, and I just can't. And I have to. And the thing is also I use Gmail for work, and I've got a personal Gmail, and then with the accounts get all messed up, and when I have Google Plus open another tab, and I go back to my Gmail for work, I'm logged out. So it's a mess. And someday it'll get cleaner. Someday it'll get there. I know we're off topic. This isn't very Android specific, but it's a Google frustration.
Well, it sort of is. Because it's also like on my phone, I sometimes forget it to use, you know, even it's, you know, Android is one of the best apps for it, right? Mm-hmm. The iOS app is sort of a little bit behind, or the last time I saw it, I haven't seen it in a couple weeks. But it's like, then I forget to go to that because I'm in TweetDeck. Maybe if there was one app that sort of plugged them all in, it would make sense.
Yeah.
It's funny for me, and just bringing it back to the Android app, since we're kind of talking about it a little bit, I find that I almost get too inundated with like notifications and contact through it. It's the thing that I love about Google Plus is that I get a lot of like user engagement and you know, fans of the show. Like if I make a post about Android, I'm going to get a lot of kind of cooperative kind of communication between everybody. But then when it comes to my phone, it's like literally buzzing every minute because there's so much of it.
Yeah,
it's a blessing and a curse.
And admittedly, I try to acknowledge that this is a problem I think very few of us have. I mean, our chosen professions and what we do here and where we're living publicly and we're, you know, hosting shows and things like that. But like the first thing I do is I install an app and I turn notifications off, like just the Facebook app, just those weekend.
All
the
time.
Well, that's done because they just turn notifications just started lighting up on the Facebook app. I don't know if you noticed it, but I was getting a new notification for every message, for every invite, for everything.
Yeah.
And I had to go in and turn it all off because it was driving me crazy.
I know.
So,
I guess I only use Google Plus mostly on the web.
Yeah.
So if I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, checking my RSS feeds for a show and then I'm like, oh, look at that interesting article. Then I plop it in, make a little comment, done. I look at the G Plus app every once in a while, but I honestly don't use it as much I would, at least for now.
I'm trying to make a more concerted effort to, when I post to Twitter from my phone, to also post it to G Plus. But then that also reveals my frustration with copy and paste on the Android phone. So then I get frustrated and I move on. And so.
Well, that'll change with ice cream sandwich, right?
One would hope.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I cannot wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, well, we got an email, and this will get us into another big discussion, I think.
Yes, so we've got an email who's from Marlon, also known as the guy from Trinidad, which is kind of awesome. And Marlon says, hello, AAA crew. I have a question that I hope you can answer. If not, please do a crowdsource and hit me with a reply because I got to know. Why do you guys hate on Honeycomb so much? Wow. This stems from last Thursday's TNT show where the guests started hating on Honeycomb, and as the resident Android expert, Jason joined in. I have used Honeycomb 3.2 for the past month, and I have no problem with it. But everywhere I turn, I read some expert saying it's just horrible, and iOS is so much better. What exactly makes it so horrible?
Who is the guest?
What makes it so horrible? Don't you have to get accustomed to all operating systems? Just curious. Please let me know.
It was Peter Rojas.
Yeah, it was Peter Rojas of GDGT, and he did go on a tear about Honeycomb on that episode. I believe my reaction to that was one word. Yeah. Like as in like an affirmation that he made that comment. I didn't join in on this, and actually,
you're not the type to join in on hate fest.
Well, I don't hate Honeycomb. Right. There are things that irritate me about it, but I don't hate Honeycomb.
And I thought you actually have supported it and you like it.
Yeah. So I did what he asked here. I crowdsourced it, of course, as I like to do on Google Plus. So I have the link in the show notes that you can find it to twit.tv/AAA. But I basically put a call out there to just be like, hey, what do you all think of Honeycomb? You know, it's kind of seems like a moot point because we're moving beyond Honeycomb.
Right.
But it's still, you know, it's still a fair question to ask since it was kind of a stepping stone to Ice Cream Sandwich. For the majority, people seem to think that, you know, pretty favorably of it. Mm-hmm. Although I will admit that there is a lot of, like I do, any of the not so favorable comments I seem to hear about it do seem to come from kind of tech press and everything. And I think there must be some sort of kind of conflict between those that have used an iPad a lot and then go to Honeycomb and realizing that, you know, maybe the experience isn't the same.
Well, I think it has to do with our expectations. It has to do with we're watching iOS move so quickly and we're watching the iPad move well. And personally, I know as an Android user, I was anxious for Android tablets to come out into the market. And not as if I live in a totally Google TV-centric world, but Google is known to roll out something when it's not quite ready for prime time.
Yeah, and Eric Schmidt even admitted that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I've said this many times, and I've reviewed many Honeycomb tablets, but my biggest problem with Honeycomb has never been the OS. Whether you think it's a little bit confusing to find things or you don't like certain native apps, that's one thing, but I've never really had a problem with that. My bigger problem has always been the apps, and I know I've like sort of beaten this. It's just like I can't say how many times I've said this and how many reviews I've said this, but you know, I do have an iPad and I love my iPad, and that's because I really am never spending that much time on the general user interface or the general home screen. I'm always spending time in the apps, and like the apps are so compelling, and that's my biggest problem with Honeycomb is I wouldn't really care what was, you know, going on underneath if I had some great quality apps. The ones I always cite, and I'm sure anyone here is who in the chat room or on Twitter who hears this will say, like, I again have beaten this to, I just completely repeat myself, is, you know, I want a good Twitter app. I want one that has, you know, some nice panes and I can actually see things within inline, whether it be websites or images. I want a Flipboard reading app, something like that, where I can actually see, you know, compelling online content and read it like a magazine. And then I also want a good Facebook app, even though I just got that on the iPad and I talked about that forever. So my biggest thing, and I know now I'm going to start my rant, or I already am, now I'm ending my rant.
You're going to start your rant. Wow.
I could go on.
I like her.
I have gone on for so long on the Verge podcast and in so many places, but it is that app thing. And actually, if you go and listen to the recording of the at All Things D a couple weeks ago in Hong Kong, Andy Rubin was the lead speaker. He was the first one to kick off the show. I specifically asked him, what is the plan for these tablet apps? Because it is a big problem. And he definitely did not really answer my question, which was unfortunate. But it's a big problem.
Well, yeah, because I don't think it's his answer. It's his thing to answer. I mean, because with the apps, I mean, they're in the hands of the developers. It's going to be as good. The apps are going to be as good as what developers can do with the platform. And while yes, Google's responsible for the operating system and for the dev kit and all stuff like that, it takes good developers to make good apps. And
But that it is his. He's got to go out there and he's got to be he's got to be talking up this operating system and, you know, looking at what Apple's done on iOS and looking what those developers have done and saying, like, we need this sort of compelling experience. So, I mean, yes, it's not totally, you know, in his court. He can't force these people to do it, though, you know, maybe he could in some senses. But that has to be happening. And you know, his answer to me was like sort of, well, we believe in one app fits all. And this might segue really nicely, you know, into when you talk about Google TV, which is that he said to me, I want all apps, you know, to run on phones, and then I want them to run on tablets, and then I want them to run on, you know, TVs, and sort of dealing with the different, you know, development tools to do that. But, you know, in some ways, some of these apps do need to be rewritten, I think, for the ground up for certain platforms.
Yeah, I don't understand why he said that. I mean, I did listen to your question to him, and he said, oh, we don't believe that some of the apps need to be rewritten. I absolutely think that they do, because this is a different experience on here versus on my phone. And yeah. I actually do agree with you. I actually have an iPad, still have my OG iPad, and I'm not getting rid of it because the apps are more compelling there than they are here at the moment. Yeah, I don't know. This will change. But that's, I feel like this is more a tablet. And this is just on how you use the device. But I use it for more of an entertainment purpose. I like doing games. There's just, you know, I use it more for the apps than I do for, say, productivity. Now, not everybody's like that, you know.
Well, no, but the whole point of the tablet is to use the apps. And I mean, I'm an owner of an iPad and a Android tablet. And I don't love either. In fact, I get way more frustrated at the iPad more often than I do than the Android tablet.
What do you get frustrated by with the iPad?
I get frustrated with the dumb stuff iOS has in there, where, you know, in terms of app control and what's running what. I mean, I was just at the gym this morning. I was trying to watch Pan Am on the ABC app, and the darn ad insert and the way it was handling streaming video. And
but
then
you have an ABC app on the iPad.
True.
I'm just saying there are more availabilities. Yep. If
so, you brought your iPad to the gym?
Yes. San Francisco. Come on. Bring it.
I don't know. I don't care about these apps. You brought this iPad to the gym. How's that mobile?
Isn't that what it's supposed to be? I thought that's what I'm supposed to do with it.
I've actually brought my iPad to the gym.
I watch TV while I'm on the elliptical. It's a nice idea.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've done it before with the phone, and then it was a different experience when I brought this, and I thought, oh, I could see everything, you know. I don't know.
I have two tablet devices, and I'm at the gym. I'm on the damn elliptical for 40 minutes. I want to be entertained. So, like, this weekend, I brought the Motorola Zoom, and I caught up on Gossip Girl. And then this morning, I brought the iPad, and I watched Pan Am.
I'm loving Ron so much right now. Just so much.
But both have their challenges, and neither am I in love with. And the thing is, like, iOS definitely has the sexiness factor. I've always said that as long as we've been doing the show, that iOS always has that sexiness factor over, especially on the iPad, as being an iPad user. But, you know, I think Google and Android's apps are – it's still a year back.
It is still a year back.
You know, it's early, so – just me.
And we've talked in the past about the chicken the eggs, you know, scenario between developers making apps and having a reason to make those apps for the, you know, at this point it's the small number of users. Hopefully that's what, and maybe that's kind of part of what Andy Rubin meant when he says, you know, that ice cream sandwich is part of the resolution there, in the sense that if that is meant to be the unifying a version of the OS, and developers are already creating things that work on both, then maybe they have more incentive to then take their tablet offering and maybe tweak it to make it a little bit better.
Right. You know, maybe I'm hoping for that as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll get to that the Google TV review here in a few minutes. but we just want to thank our sponsor, Squarespace.com. They're the fast and easy way to create a high quality website or blog, and they're awesome. We all have Squarespace sites, and just absolutely love it because it's really easy to use. The UI for creating and managing your site is just it's dead simple. It's optimized for beginners, as well as if you're a CSS expert, you can get in there and poke around and do some really creative, advanced things as well. There's tons of design templates. There's apps for iOS, for Android that you can use to update your blog. Online resources, special support team, 24 hours. They have this really cool kind of forum area where Squarespace users can kind of kick around just like advanced tips and ideas, things that they did with their site to kind of give it a, you know, an even better, more usable kind of look and feel. So there's a really active community around creating these Squarespace sites as well. Just tons of blog modules, form builders, Flickr photo display, social media buttons and elements that you can integrate. It's really super cool. So make sure and check out Squarespace at squarespace.com and use the offer code Android11 and you can get 20% off for the first 6 months, which is a really good deal. So that's squarespace.com. Try it out for free, and if you decide you want to continue the site, you can. It's offer code Android11 and you'll get 6 months for 20% off. And yeah, love Squarespace.
Don't forget the Android app is free in the marketplace. It's really great. It's actually very comparable to the iOS app. I use it to post. Maybe I should do it during the show. And
hold on, let me post.
should we throw out hey, let's do a funny Squarespace? We had Jason's thumb ring already.
Yeah, that's probably down.
That's
now.
Down.
That's thankfully.
Oh, some sort of honeycomb.
Ron, how about Ron loves GoogleTV.squarespace.com?
How about Ron loves Gossip Girl?
Ron loves Gossip Girl.
There we go. That's going to be an interesting one.
It's actually gotten really good this season.
Really? Yeah, okay. It's still going strong.
I haven't seen like the last three episodes.
No, they were good. They were good. I like what they did with the book thing.
And Chad, in the book. What's password, Chad? Oh, what is the password? So we'll check in with that later.
We'll see where that goes.
What?
But anyways, thank you, Squarespace, for your support of Twit and All About Android. And everybody check that out. All right, let's dive into hardware. There's so much stuff to get to.
All right. So today there was a big announcement, and it had something to do with this. Which this is the old version. Yeah. Now, the Nook... keychain? Yeah.
No. Where's the carabiner?
Yeah. You know, you guys love to make
I hang that tablet all the time off my bike.
I actually read on The Verge that somebody was saying, you know, Flava Flav should be the Nook tablet, a mascot, totally. And have it hanging right here.
That's great. I like it.
That was definitely a commenter. We did not write that in a
book. No. I do not. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said it was a commenter.
Did you write that? You know, because they're fired.
All right. Well, the Nook tablet was announced this morning. And Joanna, you were at the event. I love the comparison chart here that you guys have on The Verge because it really breaks down the Nook tablet, the Kindle Fire, the Nook. Actually, you can compare any device, but the four I think that, or the three that it is very comparable to is the Kindle Fire, the Nook Color, and the iPad 2.
You can pull up that thing by clicking there. I'm like, I want to just navigate the site. So I was there,
think?
And I thought it was actually a pretty good event. It was pretty, I was live blogging during the sort of the event, and I was sort of cracking up at I think his name is William Lynch, the CEO of Barnes & Noble, sort of direct aim at Amazon. I mean, he was calling them out right and left, pointing out all the things he feels is better about their device than the Fire, which was, it was pretty hilarious actually by the end. And I actually missed the Q&A, but I heard he got pretty heated and was just sort of going after some of the Kindle stuff. But yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head by holding up the color, the first color. It is really is the same device, though it is a lot faster. I sort of noticed that in the hands-on time, and they've added a few apps. So I'm not convinced yet that they'll be able to go after the Fire. Though I do think they're doing some interesting stuff with sort of making up for the fact that they don't have content, that they don't have a content store like Amazon. So they've got the Netflix integration and Hulu Plus. We shall see.
Yeah. And, $249, what do we think about the price? It's competitive to a tablet in general. No. I mean, there's so many expensive Android tablets out there. Last week, we just saw the HTC Jetstream, $800? No way.
That's in a completely different league from this.
Well, that's a bomb.
Is it competitive to its closest competition, which is
the Fire,
the Kindle Fire? It's $50 more than the Kindle Fire. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see how that is competitive when you're talking about Amazon's kind of all around solution.
The thing is that also, and I'll do my normal disclaimer that I work for a company that does development of products on the Nook as well as the Kindle. So I have a horse in the game, but I think that there is a market. market that Barnes & Noble can go after are the people who say, I want to go buy books. I'm going to go to the Barnes & Noble down on Jericho Turnpike and go pick it up, you know, and they don't shop at Amazon. I mean, I'm a loyal Amazon user. I love Amazon. It's fantastic. But I know people who only walk into Barnes & Noble and buy movies, buy DVDs, buy magazines, buy books, buy everything at Barnes & Noble because it is the last vestige of the old store. Yeah. It's the last bookstore. And I think
they were playing that up big time today and talking about this in-store support, sort of like, you know, sort of trying to pull an Apple there and say, like, we've got the best in-store support. If you have a problem, you come here. I think his quote was like, oh, if you have a problem with the Kindle Fire, what are you going to do? Go to Amazon's, you know, headquarters in Seattle.
Right. Well, true. And you're going to randomly send it back. You're going to send it back to them and hope you, I mean, definitely they have it on the support side, but also and I can speak from experience, don't underestimate the in-store marketing angle because the company I work for Graphically, we did the graphic novel version of Cowboys and Aliens, the movie that came out over the summer, released it through the Barnes & Noble Nook. They did a whole in-store promotion around it, and it affected the sales. It absolutely affected the sales. Point. You know, when you've got people in the store going, oh, cool, I can pick that up and I can download that, and how does that work, and somebody there to show them, that's a huge human factor that Apple is doing with the Apple Store. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's really interesting, really interesting. I like what Barnes & Noble did today.
Well, not to mention, it is $50 more. You get more. It seems like you're paying a little bit more to get a little bit more of your onboard storage. Like you're not living in the cloud as much as somebody on the Amazon services. Yeah. Therefore, you need more to store things on your device.
Maybe that's
a little bit
up.
Of that differentiator. Yeah.
From what I was reading, they were playing.
Yes.
Look, you don't have to be on Wi-Fi like you do with the Kindle Fire. You know, you can store all of this, you know, media and everything, and take it on the go and be offline. That was another big point they were trying to play up. And I thought about that. You know, I've got a Kindle Fire that's going to come my way pretty soon. And I thought, gosh, you know, I want to travel with it. I'm going to France in December. But, will I be able to watch things on the plane?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of a disadvantage.
The external storage is a big aspect of it. You know, I'm sure the Kindle Fire is going to get hacked. They're going to figure out how to hack and root it. But I could show you how to hack and root a Nook right now. I could show you, like it's really easy if you want to do that from a hobbyist kind of standpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's close. I think it's, I mean, yes, $50, it's a little more. And I would have liked to see them. I mean, if they really wanted to go after Amazon, they'd figure out a way to get it at $199.
Right.
You know, but I think they're factoring in, you know, they're factoring people who go to the store versus shipping. I think there's all these kind of different pieces. Plus, who knows how much that little hook costs?
You know, why are you guys?
And the screen is really nice. I mean, I've seen the Fire too, and you know, doing some side by side comparisons will obviously be the best thing to determine which has the better screen. Mm-hmm. The screen on this is really nice. I felt that way about the Fire when I saw it as well, but. You know, I kind of like the form factor of the Nook better. There's something to be said for the Fire sort of like very clean design and very sort of playbookish design, if you will. But I really do like the look and feel of the Nook.
And the Nook color isn't going away. I mean, so that, you know, so somebody wants a cheaper option, there you go. You know, there's no real.
Well, they dropped that down to $199. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. No, my biggest issue, and I had a meeting with Barnes & Noble after the event, was sort of on the app front. You know, obviously Amazon has the edge with their app store, and they have been able to sort of accrue more apps because they have, you know, released it for other platforms, for other hardware, so you can just download the app store, right? Which makes it, you know, a little bit more compelling for developers to go into that app store. But it seems like they've got much more of a push behind theirs versus Barnes & Noble. And so, you know, sort of was pushing them on how many more apps will we see, what sorts of apps. And, you know, of course, they're saying we're going to see thousands more before the end of the year. But I do think that's going to be a really big point of contention.
All right, well, let's move on. We actually talked a little bit earlier about the HTC Resound, so we might as well let you know that was the big HTC announcement that they had last week, and it was worst kept secret. Everybody knew that was happening. So the HTC Resound, aka the HTC Vigor, which at one point way back when was at the top of my list, then the Galaxy Nexus came along.
Is it not?
Swept me off my feet. 1.5 gigahertz dual core Qualcomm, LTE, of course, 4.5 3.3-inch Super LCD WVGA screen with 1280 by 720 resolution, which is very nice. I think that's the same as the Galaxy Nexus, actually. Sense 3.5, which, if you remember last week, I got the HTC Rhyme. It has 3.5, and I like it. As far as overlays go, Sense is kind of my favorite. 3.5's pretty good, too.
But it doesn't have this fancy woman on the background.
Don't you still have it, or did you change yours?
That's the true representation of the lady phone.
Yeah, Leah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mine doesn't, if you take my screen, mine doesn't have that lady in the
background. Yours is a man with an umbrella?
No, it's just, you know, your typical...
He changed it.
I did nothing of the sort. Yes, I did. Of course.
He wasn't going to keep it.
I like to modify my phones.
For a picture of a man with an umbrella.
Yeah, right.
I think we need to do a photo shoot of Jason on the beach with an umbrella. I just got, you know.
Anyways, yeah, so it looks like a great phone. 8 megapixels with autofocus, 1080p video recording, 2 megapixel front facing, a whole lot of internal and micro SD storage. No NFC, so that's kind of a big omission, I guess, if that's important to you. And of course, it's not launching with Ice Cream Sandwich, but as we talked about earlier, HTC says that it will be updated sometime.
Sometime.
I don't know.
I was actually at this event as well. I'm just an event.
You're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just not going to fill in the rest of that right there.
I was like, is she really going to say?
You guys try and keep it very PC on this. Yeah, so I was at that event too, and sort of the highlight of the event was the Beats guy coming out. What's his name? Johnny Ive, I believe, and talking up the Beats integration. And so, you know, this is the first Beats HTC phone coming to the U.S., and you know, it comes with the headphones in the box and all that kind of stuff. But that was pretty funny as well. Don't think that's like a huge upsell of the device, but
yeah,
I'm interested to see how they market it.
Yeah, the jury's still out on whether the Beats actually means anything or if it's just kind of a cool thing for them to say.
Yeah, the Beats thing.
Yeah, they spent like 20 minutes talking about it. It was so good.
Wow. Johnny Iovine. Jimmy.
Johnny Ive is Apple's product guy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Again, I haven't eaten.
I know.
And they're very similar names. I will give you that. They're both J's and I's. You know?
Johnny Ive. Yeah. And he was talking about how good Beats is on the iPhone 4. Yeah. Or iPhone 5. It was a great event. It was pretty crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. so I'll talk about crazy. The Motorola, we got some news on the Motorola Zoom 2. CNET had a great post kind of over giving an overview of what's coming with the Motorola Zoom 2, which are two flavors of tablets. There's going to be a media edition and a normal edition, and Motorola's hoping they can have a little more success this time around than the first one, which I have no problem with that Zoom that you gave me, which is, I like it.
Yay.
But so the new tablets, they're both going to be powered by dual core 1.26 gigahertz processors running Android 3.2 Honeycomb, much to everybody's dismay. Just kidding. And of course, they've got that neat, interesting bezel that we saw in some product shots, some leaked product shots a couple of weeks ago with those weird kind of edges. What's interesting is that what I find interesting is the Media Edition is, you know, obviously clearly geared more towards entertainment. It's got 178-degree viewing angle, so more than one person can watch it at the same time, which is great if you're on the plane and you're traveling with somebody and you guys want to share and watch something. They're claiming a 20% improvement in graphics performance and added virtual surround sound. So it's pretty interesting what they're trying to do with the Zoom in terms of trying to attack the, at least with the media side, as an entertainment device.
Thinner and lighter,
yes,
which is absolutely something they had to do if they were going to put out a successor to the Zoom.
Exactly.
But I think this looks interesting. I think they needed to come out with something that was compelling for a follow-up to the Zoom, because it was kind of, you know, they kind of fell on their face a little bit with that one. So.
And what I like, going back to the Nook, we talk about the Nook because of that hook. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see more and more physical, you know, and
doodads,
like whether it's the stylus like we're seeing here, or the different bezel with the Battlestar Galactica-esque type framing, you know, with the octagon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're going to see, you know, kind of what Sony did with that one with the wedge.
Oh, with the wedge.
I want to see innovations on the actual hardware that sells, because that's how you're going to differentiate in the marketplace. You know, because you're either going to go like Samsung and try to make it look like an iPad, or
and
make it look
sued.
Oh, look, that looks different. Why is that different?
And then
go
get
look,
sued. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, and also look at it. Why do Why do we talk about the Nook so much? It's because of the Hook. The Hook has no. It's purely designed.
It's true.
Purely designed.
It's a big talking point whether it matters or not.
Is it a big talking point? Before today, did you guys ever talk about the Nook?
Yes, a lot. Actually, yeah.
Oh, really?
Just because, I mean, especially the original Nook had such an interesting kind of developer community around it. You know, rooting it and throwing different custom ROMs on there, so it turns it into this completely different device that maybe probably Barnes & Noble hadn't expected or hoped. But that makes it compelling, low cost.
I think it's time for Ron's Google TV 2.0 review. I have been looking forward to this since you emailed in all caps.
I got very excited
on Friday. How excited you were about this update! So I can't wait to hear all about it. This is the big, you know, reveal. Ron, I'm tossing it back to you.
I give it two thumbs up, 5 stars. It's the update I always dreamed of.
What?
It's fantastic. It's like it. So to give my story, I was an early Google TV fan when I was working at Revision 3 full time. We got an advanced box and we were able to develop for the platform. And I really kind of saw the power of it and said, okay, wow, this could be really pretty cool. But as we always talked about, it fell a little short. You always got the sense that the UI wasn't quite perfect. It wasn't exactly how, could this really be a mass market device? But the 2.0 software upgrade, which finally came through all week last week, I spent going, on my little remote saying, system update, check for new updates. If you follow me on Twitter, I apologize because I think I was doing twice a day updates. Still no Google TV update. But finally it downloaded and installed. And I took a little video and I'm going to apologize because this is in my apartment with my Kodak.
Look at that. It looks great.
Can you pause it, Chad? So I took it with my Kodak. So one hand, I'm holding the video camera. And the other hand, I'm trying to navigate it. But you can go back to the video, though. What's really interesting about it is that right out of the gate, if you look at it, the home navigation hovers up over on top of whatever you're doing. But you look behind that, you see that girl, you can set a wallpaper now.
I was about to say.
Which is really awesome. Really cool. So you can go and set a wallpaper. You get that below kind of that menu navigation. You can choose what applications appear along the bottom. You can also access all the apps that appear by clicking there. There also are widgets that can install in there. Here you can see the view. I hit all the apps, and so you can scroll through a much cleaner kind of browsing kind of experience. The Netflix app, my one complaint, and this is not on Google TV, but I like the old version of Netflix that was on Google TV before this.
Oh, really?
I feel like they kind of took a step backwards. And apologize on this video too because my internet was being slow and quiet. But the UI
is
slightly
like the
different.
Website.
Yeah, it went more like the website. I really liked what they had done with the latest Google TV kind of update. But it works great. It does exactly what you need it to. What I thought was interesting is that in the settings, you can choose what application to boot the Google TV to. So when you turn it on. So if you primarily use it for Netflix, it can just automatically start up Netflix, similar to the old Windows kind of startup menu kind of thing. But the video is great, works excellent. When you, I'm trying to remember what exactly was the next point in the video. When you go through, I'm a big user of TV. I mainly use it for there. So they've got this new TV and movies app, which is really cool because you can go through different movies and different television shows, and it will show you where they're available. So, for example, you clicked on a show here. I clicked on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It breaks it down by season, and then individual episodes tells you where it's available, whether it's Amazon or Netflix or just not available online. I'm not connected to cable or I'm not connected to the antenna or anything like that, so I watch completely everything through IPTV. And so using this is great. So if I want to watch Breaking Bad, I hear so much great about it. I'm going to go check out season one. I click on here. I click buy, and I can see, okay, it's on Netflix, and it's also on Amazon. And you click that, and if you go to Amazon, it launches the browser and takes you to Amazon's instant video application, or it launches your Netflix application. Really kind of interesting in that regard. There's a new updated YouTube interface, which is slightly similar to the YouTube lean back experience, which is neat.
Yeah.
I'm a big user of the media player and the DNLA, whatever that acronym is. So you can select your device and I map it to my desktop computer. I use Views for that. And then I'm able to watch the shows that I've actually got files of. What's really interesting is that you're able to plug in a USB device now and access media off that. So if you have video or you have photos in the new photo app, which I'm going to get to in a moment, you can pull that directly from external storage devices, which you couldn't do before. which was frustrating because I had the Sony device with the USB port that did nothing.
Right.
So it's great that it finally can do that.
I remember that being a huge complaint.
Yeah, exactly. But so now you can do that, which is really cool. Pandora, similar app as before, but what I thought was really interesting was that you can start playing music and then go back out of the app and go use the browser, use anything else while music does play. And then you can also control the app via the widget from the home screen. So, which is really, really cool. There's also notifications. We haven't completely lost the UI interface from the phone kind of thing. Those little squares, the rectangles, the notifications and the system settings and things like that fall under that same kind of look and feel. But you do get a notification every time an app needs to be updated or when something's happening. So when the song changes, you can have Pandora tell you that the song has changed. So you can also turn off the notifications if you find them super annoying. The interesting thing around with the widgets is that you can customize where they are, so you can move them around on the screen. So if you want to move the Pandora widget down there, you can move the Twitter one up there. I was disappointed at the lack of widgets, though. At launch, there was only three widgets, which is Twitter, Pandora, and the clock.
The clock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you can see me here adding the clock to it. Yeah, but it's neat. It's really easy to use. I mean, I'm using the Sony gamepad remote, and I'm flying around. This is all me with one hand flying around the app, flying around the various apps using that controller.
Did you go in the marketplace, by any chance?
Yeah, so the marketplace is next. I get that just shown off Twitter. And so then on the marketplace, it's very similar. It's funny that you read my mind.
I know, I read your mind.
The marketplace definitely borrows a lot of the UI from the current marketplace on the web. You can see here there's some promotional area. They're bubbling some stuff up. Here the installation process is just as simple as on the web. You just click install and it just starts downloading it to the – you got to agree to the permissions and then it just starts downloading it. You see the kind of description in there that's the notification that's installing. Then it tells you when it's been installed and offers it to launch. It's really easy to use and really, really smooth. Not many apps for Google TV yet.
I asked if you would download the karaoke app. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did not yet. I did not yet. Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't brought myself up to that. Yeah,
but you're alone. Nobody's going to know. You can just tell me if it's horrible or not.
You can't. What I thought was interesting is through the marketplace, you can access other Android apps.
Okay.
But they'll limit installation based off compatibility. Okay. But what some people have done, like the movies app by Flixster, they just made their phone app compatible with Google TV.
Okay.
Which is a little disappointing because it's not truly optimized for it.
Oh, look at your photos.
This is the new Photos app, which is really cool because not only can you access a USB device, but you can link it to your Picasa account or your Flickr account. Yeah, that's awesome. And that's where I pulled the wallpaper. And it's a big picture of me, which I quickly clicked away. But so when I installed the wallpaper, I just loaded it to my Flickr and I added it here and set it as the wallpaper. So
wow.
I don't know. I think it's great. It finally feels like a mature product. It's fun to use. Like I found myself just sitting on the couch, not necessarily watching TV, but playing with it. I think once we start seeing more, and here you just see the settings, the boring stuff. Once we start seeing more apps be developed for the Google TV kind of environment, like the Clicker app is kind of cool. There was some fireplace app that was done that just played HD fireplace or like.
Well, you're gonna need that for the holidays.
Yeah, so it's not the Yule log, though.
It's not the Yule log.
Someone's got to do the Yule log. Listen,
oh, that'll
open
happen.
Call to developers. Do a Google TV Yule log, and I will pay for it. But I
you
will.
Heard
it's
that
the Yule
here.
Log. It's great.
Right.
But it feels like a mature product now, and I'm still exploring it. I'm still getting the hang of it. But out of the gate, it made my TV viewing better. Which I think is a good product. So,
kind of what it's all about.
Oh, I'm so excited for you, Ron.
I'm very excited.
I'm excited to actually try it, too, whenever I get the update. The review hasn't gotten it yet, as far as I know. We've been hitting update. Now I'm the one hitting update
the time. See, now turnabout's fair play, isn't it?
Like, no, we got to check.
And I'm not hitting update all the time, but I don't have a Google TV device. So.
Do you have
one, not either.
Oh, you don't?
No.
It's really cool.
No, I'm actually trying to figure out what to get for my living room here in this new apartment. And I have to say the Google TV has not even been on the list.
Well, really?
After hearing this review, maybe it is going to be on the list.
Well, it's funny because a friend of mine, when I was raving about it on Twitter, first off, my friend IM'd me and he goes, is Google paying you? And I said, no, they're not, sadly. And then he said, well, should I get this? And I said, all right, well, what do you have at home? And he goes, well, I've got an Xbox, I've got a Roku box, and I've got a Vizio with widgets. And I said, you know what? You don't need this. You've got everything you're going to do, you've got covered. You know, like, you know, you're, the Roku.
And you get the web.
Yeah, exactly. Too. Well, yeah. Well, so the one different advantage would be with Google TV is that you have access to the web, you have access to a browser. You could do that as you're watching TV searching. Mm-hmm. But if you have an iPad or if you have a laptop, you can do that as well. If you've already got the Roku or if you've already got these connected devices, things like that, but if you're looking to connect your living room, I really think the Google TV is now a product that can stand on its own and actually give a little more value than some of those other. You know, I had 9 different boxes.
What are the prices like now?
Cheap. You can get a review for $99.
$99,
right?
Yeah.
So
okay.
I mean,
okay.
I happen to. I got the.
All right, it's on the list now.
Nice.
It's on the list.
There we go.
Write it down right here.
Well, it was funny.
What a salesman!
I bought. I could sell anything. No, I bought the Sony. I bought the Sony Blu-ray player because I needed a Blu-ray player.
Got it.
And I was like, might as well get it. And I was actually out running this morning, and I saw somebody with a Sony connected TV
with your iPads
box.
Running with your iPad. Yeah.
No, not with my iPad. But I was out and I saw somebody with the Sony connected.
I'm never going to be invited back to the show.
No, it's awesome. Bring it on. But you're seeing it more and more. Like if the Google TV is integrated into Sony's TVs themselves, then that's going to, you know, it's a little more interesting. So.
All right. Thank you so much for that review. We're going to go back to it every single time when, you know, somebody says something about Google TV. No. Listen to Ron. Episode 33.
He'll talk some sense into you.
I was looking for problems. And other than my nitpick of the – my two nitpicks are I don't like the Netflix UI, which they could – that's on Netflix. It's not on Google.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you can set the wallpaper, but for the life of me, I can't get back to it. Like once you use an app – then that app is the background because the home is the overlay. Those are the only complaints I had. So.
Nice. All right.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor, Ford, featuring available voice-activated Sync app link, and which this basically enables you to control select apps from your smartphone with a simple voice command while keeping your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. So with Sync app link, you can do things like Pandora. You were talking about Pandora. You can do voice control Pandora in your car so you don't have to touch the phone while you're driving. You can listen to tweets with OpenBeak just by asking with a simple voice command, and it'll read back your tweets to you as they come through. Once it's linked to Pandora, you can do things like using voice commands to, you know, select your favorite station, make a new one, bookmark songs to purchase, all that kind of stuff, and listen to whatever stations you already have set up. It's pretty easy to do. So take a look at Ford's site. You can check out ford.com/technology, and you can take a look and see all about OpenBeak and Sync App Link, and see what you think about it. You can actually find it if you check out the 2012 Ford Fiesta. You can see it in action and go test it out yourself. So learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at ford.com/technology. And we thank them so very much for sponsoring this episode of All About Android.
I think you could say, listen to episode 33 of All About Android.
You're like, oh yeah, I know that. But it And it would play.
Exactly. Well, anyways.
Of course.
There's my pitch.
What happens if you're listening to the show and then you're in the Ford Sync and then you get stuck in a recursive loop just now?
Oh.
If you're listening to episode, you know.
No, it's too good for that. It's
too good.
All right. All right. I'm just saying.
That's for sure. Let's jump into the arena.
Enter. One lives. Android Arena.
All right. So, first off, like to kick things off by taking a look at last week's poll. And let's see here. It was another grab bag episode, and I've saved the discovery until now. It looks like Circle Launcher.
No way.
Wow.
It was a close race.
Wow.
Circle Launcher, 35% of the votes. Second place was MX Video Player with 24%.
I'll take the silver.
And then a tie for third with Minecraft Pocket Edition and Ivona Text-to-Speech, which I guess I thought that Minecraft had a passionate enough audience that it was going to get voted to the top. But
I'd like to thank the United States and Brazil and looks like Chile.
Listen, Canada really likes their video players. That's all. Canada, Australia, and South Africa. You're my people.
Ethiopia loves me too. Nigeria, thank you so much.
France voted with
Germany.
Me. That's unfortunate.
This is what we do, Joanna. We look at our poll and we go country by country and go, oh my God, thank you so much.
I'm definitely not going to win. I'm really upset.
It's basically.
Oh. I might change my app selection.
Why don't you change?
Mine's not very. Mine's not very global friendly. It's actually not even very.
I had you going first because you're our guest, but you know what? You can go last and come out with the zinger. Do you want? We'll let you pick a different one if you want. Do you want to do that?
Yeah. Now I'm going to the market and finding like the highest rated apps.
Wow. So you're in it to win it.
She really is. All right. We'll start with you, Jason.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and do mine then. Mine is, it was actually, I had not used this app until last week. It was one of Amazon's featured free apps last week.
So it was
week.
Mine. That
and I got to say, I'm really happy because I logged on like really late this day. I can't remember when it was. It was like Wednesday or Thursday, like right before going to bed. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't check it out. I'm really happy I did. It's called Ultimate Guitar Tabs. So I know I'm not going to win this week because this is really specialized to musicians, but it's a really good app. Here's the strange thing is that through Amazon, it's a $7.99 app. Through Google Market, as you can see, the Android Market, it's $2.99. But that's because some of the really good features that I'm going to show off are in-app purchases. So I think you can get this version of this through the Android Market that's just the tools if you don't want the tablatures. There's a few different ways you can get it. But I know for $79.99 on Amazon, you can get the whole shebang. So I'll go ahead and show it right here. Basically, it has guitar, bass, just tons of different types of tablatures that you can get. If you're a musician, if you don't know what tablatures are, it's essentially a way to learn other people songs and play them. So if we'll go to the top 100 tabs, you sign up for an account with Ultimate Guitar, and that allows you to kind of sync between devices and sync between the web for different tabs that you've set as a favorite of yours or whatever. So Someone Like You by Adele. So if I loaded this up, it would show you the tab, and it might look like Greek and foreign to those who have never used a tablature or read tabs before. But essentially, it's a way for you to learn how to play this, play whatever the instrument is the tab is on. The app actually allows you to transpose it. You can also set up this auto scroll, which if you time it right, then say you're playing, you hit play, and hopefully it follows the tablature, so you never have to actually do anything with your hands while you're playing the guitar or whatever. It kind of follows for you. Now, that's cool, and the tablature stuff is definitely what Ultimate Guitar Tabs is all about because it's in the name. But that's not the reason why I love this app, because I don't really do tabs a whole lot. I used to, but not anymore. I'm really down for the tools here. So it's got three really cool tools, and I'll just show you really quick. They're pretty straightforward. One's a guitar metronome, so you can set up just your typical metronome with any different kind of time signatures that you want. And that's pretty sweet. You could also tap out the tempo if you want for quick and dirty kind of, metronoming. Guitar tuner, which it has a couple of different ways that you can do this. It has this way that allows you to kind of just play whatever the note is. Oh, wow, I almost picked that on a D. And it will tell you kind of where you're at, and you can kind of zero in on the zero point. Or you can change this mode, and you can, I don't know if you can even hear that, but you can use it to play the note that you're tuning to. And, of course, if you need to set that into different, I guess this is the loop mode, but if you need to, what was it? Yeah, it was this. So if you wanted to do different tunings, you can go in here and select the different types of tunings that you want to dial in and do that. But the thing I love about this was enough reason for me to want to do it, is this chords library. Because so often, if you're a musician, maybe you identify. If you don't, you're like, all right, I've already fast-forwarded. But when I'm writing music, I often am looking for a particular chord that I just don't know how to play it. And so this is a really good way to kind of go through and find all the different combinations and different keys and scales and everything. You can just dial it in, and then it'll show you on the guitar how you finger out that chord, basically. And I can't wait to start using this. Like, it's been a while since I've made some music because my space was occupied by my daughter. But hopefully at a new place I'll have a studio again, and I'll be able to use this to kind of come up with some new different chord ideas. So that is Ultimate Guitar Tabs. I think it's worth it just for this feature alone, because that's just a really cool, well-implemented way to do something like that. And I don't expect to win this week.
Yeah, that was a niche one. It's a niche one.
It's a total niche one. But I love it. So check it out, Ultimate Guitar Tabs.
It reminds me that I can't play guitar.
Well,
exactly.
You could learn Core.
No, I tried. It's tragic.
That's what it made me think of when I tried to learn how to, or teach myself how to play guitar in college, and I was like looking at guitar tabs, and then I gave up after like 5 minutes.
I'm right there with you. I can play the opening to Stairway and to a Soul Asylum song, and that's it. So, yeah.
Oh, Soul Asylum.
Yeah, they were talking. Yeah, that was 90
Soul Asylums in here.
93, maybe. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was. Runaway Train, maybe? I don't remember.
Runaway Train.
I'm revealing lots about myself tonight.
Can we go to ronlovesgossipgirl.squarespace.com? Because it is awesome. I'm sorry, Jason. I actually went there, and they updated it during your review, and I almost lost it. So I wasn't laughing at your review. I just laughed at that photoshopped. That is awesome.
Really good.
Look at you. And you've got, like, the button-up shirt and the white shirt. You're looking awesome.
Is that Chuck Bass's body?
I think it is, yeah.
Put your face on there. That's
pretty good.
They did a very good job.
I didn't know you were
awesome.
In Gossip Girl.
Yeah, whoever did that, very good job. I don't know where you got the photo from. Or is it just the show? I guess I don't know.
Google Images, I'm sure.
Good job.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think that should be my entry to the arena, the Ron Lowe's Gossip Girl site, because I'll win.
You should just do Squarespace, as your app, and then you would win.
All right. Oh, by the way, Soul Asylum Runaway Train is in there.
Is it? Oh, no. Yeah. Here you go.
So, you could learn.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go next. And this just hit the marketplace Sunday, I think. It is Atari's Greatest Hits, which is deceptively free in the Android marketplace. But what happens is you get only one game with that, which I believe is Missile Command. And if you want to buy individual games, look at that, chat. If you want to buy individual games, they're 99 cents for all the various Atari games that you might know already and love. Or you could get the entire catalog of 99 games for 10 bucks, which is what I did.
That's smart. That's a smart
pricing. Put it in the marketplace for free and then, charge per game, depending upon maybe you don't want all the games. I went ahead and got all of them just because I wanted to show it all to everybody. And, I'm probably going to spend some time. First of all,
this is cool.
First of all, I love the music. Can you hear it?
A little 8-bit action.
Bum, bum. And then, so here I'm
is
in
that
the
Crystal Castles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So here's Crystal Castles right here. I've been playing a lot of Centipede. So here's arcade mode. And you've got all these games. I'm digging the loop of this this music. If you wanted to go to Atari Classic, let's see here. Here we go. Check this out, Ron. Yara's Revenge,
cool.
Warlords. A lot of stuff. Oh, they do have video pinball. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Ooh. Sorry, I didn't see that earlier, and I was a little disappointed.
Video checkers.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
I mean, let me turn this down. Whoa.
Turn it off.
Okay. Well, let me just show you. I mean, and the game looks like it did back in the day. I'm going to play a little Centipede right here. I haven't played it on the tablet, so sorry if I mess up here. But let me just show you what it sounds like. See, it's a little weird. Can you guys see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
More or less.
Okay. So this is Centipede that you would play in the arcade. You just don't have the trackball. And it sounds just like the actual game.
That's really interesting that they I mean, of course, you can get a ROM emulator or whatever to replay the games. But they actually, that in terms of the interface and, like, the little Centipede thing at the bottom, that's pretty cool.
So that's
I think they've had this for iOS for a while.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. But thank goodness it's here now. I want to quit. Any game that you guys have any requests? I don't know how to play Crystal Castles.
Crystal Castles is great.
I don't know how to play this. Do you want to play it, Ron?
Crystal Castles is so much fun.
See, don't lose the TV there.
All right, I got you. All right,
okay, sure.
I go to my shot?
Oh, go to your shot. Okay. I'll just have receipts. Ron's going to sell it for me.
You're selling this out for
Eileen, Ron. Castles, I'm all about.
My God. Look at that.
I used to play this game in the ground round for hours.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember this.
Yeah, you collect all the little dots and... Yeah, they look really like
authentic, right?
Yeah, they look like what they should.
You should see the bowling app. Like. It's totally as if it has the little joystick, Atari home controller joystick, and then you move it to move the guy, and then you hit go, and then the ball goes.
So $10 for the whole suite.
The whole suite.
That's not bad. That's quite a few games in there too.
This is actually again the first time I played it on the tablet, and I just love playing games on a tablet, preferably so. I mean, if I can, mm-hmm. and it plays pretty well.
This is cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
This might be Ron's app too.
Well, I was more of an Intellivision.
This is definitely going to win.
I know, right? Yeah, it totally is. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think about am I going to win this? But people are like, oh, you know, the 1-star reviews are the price because people are like $9.99.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like
I think that, I mean no, because honestly, because they're not. I you know, like if you only like a certain game, then
you only pay for that
exactly.
one game. It's 99 cents.
That's
what
great.
Are you playing now?
Battlezone.
Oh, there you go.
Ah, there you go.
Battlezone was the best.
Yeah, this is really well done.
It's great. I have to say, I've only had it for a couple days, but I just wanted the whole collection. I'm like, bring it on. I don't want to just get one game.
Yeah, because you know you'll play it. This is a good time waster here and there. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the original Breakout and everything. I mean, it's all there.
Oh, that's great.
So there you go. Atari's greatest hits. For free, you can download and just
Pong,
kind of
classic Pong.
Classic Pong.
You
is
can
on
show
there.
Those of you with kids. You can say like, "This is the one that started it all." Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, and then Breakout, I think, is in there too.
Oh yeah.
Wow. So. You see, I'm more enthused by the arcade aspect than the Atari because, like I said, I was an Intellivision kid.
Uh huh.
You know, but they don't have Intellivision on Android yet, though. Unfortunately, someday.
Anyways, thank you, Atari. I'm very happy to have this. And I think I spent $10 well.
That's $10 well spent. I think so.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Ron.
I'm just voting for yours. I'm boring productivity, like manage your phone app. So similar to Jason, one of the Android free apps that I weeks ago, though. It wasn't last week, but it was a while ago. It was an app called Superbox Pro. And mainly it's a phone management application, which I found it's one of those things where I installed it and then I never used it and it just kind of sat there. And then one day I was on the bus. I'm like, oh, what does this do? And I started playing it. I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty powerful. Oddly enough, it's not – Superbox Pro is only available on Amazon. The people who make it have a different app available on the Android marketplace that's called something different and looks slightly different. And actually, Chad, the link is there in column E. But it's slightly different but similar. I didn't get to play with the Android market one, so I'm only reviewing. Yeah, it's called Super A-Tool Box Cache Battery.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
All your apps A-Tool. All your apps belong to us. But so that's the so if you're looking for it in the Android marketplace, look for Super A-Tool. But yeah, so let me pull this up and I'll show you guys what it looks like. Where'd it go? There it is. So essentially what it is, you get a bunch of different apps, a bunch of different little functions in it that give you information about your phone, applications about your phone, battery related stuff, and others. So on the information side, there's a memory CPU manager. So I can see how much – sorry, my phone's a mess. I should have cleaned it. You can see how much memory you're using up, how much memory is left in the CPU, and you can set certain thresholds, and you could also hit free memory, and it will clear out stuff. It will wipe it kind of clean. It will stop dead processes. So it's one of those kind of apps that let you kind of manage your phone a little better. But the killer app for me that I use it for is a app within it that's called App2SD. And what it will do is it will go through all of your apps, scan all of them, and then identify which ones are can be moved to the SD card.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you're like me, for some reason I just want to move them all to the SD card, and that's why they're actually now all on the SD card. But it will show you all the various apps. It'll show you how large they are, what the size is, and then you just tap on it, and it goes into the app manager, and then you can choose move to SD card. And so it's an easy way to manage your apps as they appear on the SD card. It also shows you which ones exist only on the phone only for whatever reason. Then beyond that, there's a great uninstaller and installer application. So if you're installing other APKs or you want to uninstall applications quickly, quicker than doing them through the stock kind of version, this is great. There's also a way to back up all your apps and a way to manage your cache. It will show you all the various apps that use a memory cache and how big it is. So in this particular case, you know, I can – you know, Facebook Messenger is given, you know, 5 meg. The browser is 4 meg. Food spotting is 3 meg. So I can choose which ones to flush the cache for. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, and you clear them all, clear one at a time. It gives you more kind of power to manage your cache. There's a task killer, which we've talked about in previous episodes, that you don't really need. a task killer anymore so much, but it's there. As well as there's a neat little file manager. One of my biggest kind of frustrations around I like to get access to the file system, and so actually being able to look at the various folders on my phone and be able to access them is pretty cool. And this does it in a neat little kind of visual kind of way. So yeah. So
you can only get this through the Amazon App Store, though?
You can only get this version through the Amazon App Store. And I forget how much it was. I got it for free when it was the app of the day.
Is that where you shop for apps?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I have no loyalty. I'll go where the deals are.
like the free app of the day.
Yeah. But is it like $3 in the Amazon App Store? Chad, can you pull that up again? It's
$3.99.
Yeah, it's $3.99. It was a great freebie, that's for sure. I'm not sure if I would pay $3.99 for it because a lot of the stuff, basically what it does, it takes a lot of functions that you can do on the phone already, but just puts them all into one place and makes it easier to manage.
Okay.
So, and Joanna Very thinks cool. that's funny.
I'm sorry. I'm delirious at this point. I'm so hungry.
I know. I feel so bad. I'm like, oh, we should have given Joanna time to eat.
I know. I should. No, we were going to start at what time? 8?
I know.
But even then, I was like, oh, I'll eat after, which is too late to eat. But this is a good segue into my app, which is really not that exciting. But because all I do right now is work, sleep, and eat. My app is Seamless Web, which, again, not going to be a huge hit. Do you guys want to show it over there? Because I can barely
show it here.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll pull it up here. I have it.
It's really not that interesting. It's just like a really great way to order food really fast. And literally, it's like you were like, what app are you guys, what app are you using lately? And I was like, this is the only app I use right now. This, making phone calls, Gmail, and that's basically it. So you just order food.
Oh, and how fast does it normally happen? I mean, it happens in like 2 minutes.
I mean, I ordered my dinner here that's getting cold. It came in like 15 minutes. You know, it's a good app. You can search by food category and see what other features there are.
We can put it in
multiple addresses. So I've got my address at the office and I have my address at my apartment.
Does it remember
Seamless Web for those that I don't know if they have it in San Francisco. I think they
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have it here. Yeah,
you do. For those that don't have it in their city, you should still vote for me, even though you might not have it. is basically just like a assortment of menus for takeout, and you can just input it there, and it charges your credit card, so you don't have to constantly get out your credit card or do it over the phone.
And does it remember your previous orders?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because I teed that up for you because I knew it did. Because that's a function that I love. Because I get
thank
this.
Thank you. You're gonna be upset when I win.
But
though I know it's hard to beat your task manager, but. Sorry.
Anyway, that's a function I really like because I order the same thing from the Chinese food place every time.
Oh,
I
you
just,
do? Okay.
You just hit order. You know, like I was walking home once and I'm like, order it. I don't have to. It's super easy to do. And so, yeah.
Yep. And there's ratings and
I'm going to download this.
Sweet, I got
to
say.
I'm actually
going to
download it.
My favorite app right now because I like food. And right now, all I can think about is food. So. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap this up for you so that you can eat your food instead of it getting.
She's my new favorite guest.
I don't feel like I'm not.
You can only be on the show when you haven't eaten, though. That's it. We need you edgy.
You know, this actually happens to me a lot, even when I go on the Verge podcast. Like, it happens, like, you know, you'll start later and then it ends up going later than you expected. And I'm like, why did I not have a snack before this?
You know, what's even worse is that I occasionally do a foodie podcast. And when you're hungry going into that, an hour later, you're like, why did I eat first? Yes. It's not a good scenario.
That's not good. Yeah. Yep. All right, well, let's wrap this up so everybody can eat because I think I'm getting really, really hungry.
Can I actually mention one thing? And it's been coming up in the chat room here, and people have been asking me on Twitter if I was going to talk about the ASUS Transformer Prime, and I'm not really sure why I would talk. There was no news on it yet this week, though there's been a ton of leaks. It is supposed to be announced or launched on Wednesday, so my assumption is we'll hear more about that later this week. But for those that, you know, don't like a short introduction to the product is it's supposed to be the first quad core tablet obviously going to run Honeycomb at first and then going to run Ice Cream Sandwich. And it's similar to the first Transformer in that it has a dock, a keyboard dock with a battery and all that cool stuff. Hopefully we'll hear about it more this week.
Did you like the original Transformer? The reason why a lot of people in our chat room are probably asking is because they've been asking us to review it. We're going to have a product person in-house pretty soon that will be able to keep up with the requests.
You can just have me on.
Oh, yeah. We'll just have you on instead. But yeah, because they were like, what do you think? And I'm like, we don't have it yet. Oh, there it is. Yep. Look at
there
the
it is.
Prime.
Yeah, so, I mean, I loved the first Transformer for, like, the form factor and the battery life. The battery life was really, really good with the, you know, the battery and the keyboard attached. And it was definitely one of the first tablets I felt like, oh, I can replace a laptop. You know, I could take this away instead of a laptop for a little bit of time. Yeah, and I saw this also a few weeks at the AGD conference, and it definitely looks really sleek, a lot thinner. They're sort of borrowing some of the design from the Ultrabook that they just put out, which is a Windows laptop. Definitely I think we'll probably hear more about it, you know, late this week or early next week, you know, just sort of at this point waiting to hear the pricing and where it will be available.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, good.
Right on.
All right. Thank you very much.
Now that I cut off the end of your show and I made the show longer.
No, we're doing fine. Although I think we have to do the poll link, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's do that real quick. So to vote on your favorite app from this week's arena, go to bit.ly/vote AAA33. See, I changed it up again. bit.ly/vote AAA33. And you can vote on your favorite. Ultimate Guitar Tabs, Atari's Greatest Hits, Superbox Pro, and Seamless Web.
Yikes. Atari's running away with it.
There's only four.
Hey, listen,
that's a good early indicator.
Yeah. Ultimate Guitar Tabs is zero. Yes.
That's there you go. You got to vote. Indicator. There you go.
Next week, Seamless Web, surging.
Food is big.
The real-time thing. I could just sit here for hours and watch it.
Food is a big deal.
Next week, we're going to do another grab bag episode. We're actually going to do a full feedback episode.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to send us your questions, comments, everything, we're going to do nothing but answering your feedback, unless there's some big, amazing, revolutionary news that we got to talk about.
I can't take another announcement. I'm really announcement out. I mean, I'm sure Joanna and you guys are in it way more than I am, but between the tech industry and the comics industry, I just can't take this news. I just need a break.
That's why we're taking a break. Yeah. We're going to do a feedback episode. Yeah. So send us your emails, aa@twit.tv. And Joanna, thank you so much for joining us. We're so sorry that you're starving.
I apologize to all the viewers and the listeners here that I got a little bit cranky here at the end. I might have made fun of a task manager app. That wasn't very nice.
That's okay.
And I promise next time I come back on, I will have eaten and maybe drank something. And That's all I can promise.
You're a trooper. Yeah, it was great. All good.
Joanna, why don't you go ahead and plug whatever you like? I know The Verge launched, so it'll probably be that, but anything, go for it.
That is The Verge. And Seamless Web, of course, but The Verge.
All right.
TheVerge.com. We've got, definitely got a ton of Android news. We actually have an Android hub, which is pretty cool. And we just sort of, you know, congregate all the Android news there. But obviously, tons of tech and consumer electronics news all the time, 24 hours a day. You just can't, it's just never ending, nonstop.
Awesome. So that's The Verge.
Like the food at Seamless Web.
Exactly.
Seamless Web. All right. Well, thanks again, Joanna. It was a pleasure having you on. Ron, go ahead and plug.
Sure, yeah. You can find everything that has to do with me at about.me/RonXO. You can get links to my Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the fun stuff there. And check out my day job at Graphically, where we got graphic novels available on the Nook, as well as on Amazon and iOS, and a whole bunch of fun stuff there. That's all be found at Graphically.com. And you could tune into Gossip Girl every Monday night on the CW.
Yes, don't forget, Ron loves Gossip Girl. Squarespace.com. There's another interesting picture at the very end.
That one's disturbing. It's disturbing. Don't, Chad. Don't. Yeah, trust me.
He doesn't want. Yeah, you could just go there if you want to see it. And I'm Eileen Rivera. You could find me on Twitter at EileenTV or on Google+ at
gplus.to/EileenTV. It's not hard.
Oh, there we go. That was spelled wrong again.
That's great.
G-Pulse.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm Raygun01 or about.me/Jason Howell. That's it for this week. Send us a voicemail for next week's all feedback episode, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email, AAA@twit.tv, or video mail as well. We'll take those as well. Twitter, you can find the show at Android Show. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live, usually every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. I'm starving. I'm going to eat this microphone.
All right.
I could go for a meal.
All right.
Yeah, let's go.
See you guys. I have one right here.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Go eat, Joanna.
Joanna, you got me hungry.